Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon and happy 2024 for those of you who have made it to this new year. Welcome to another year of West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. I am Brother Tony Bullock, and I am very happy to have you with me tonight. Blessings be upon you, and it is good to know that we all made it to this side. You know, there's so much going on, and, you know, the funny thing is you always get those people who scream, yell, and beat their chest with, you know, new year, new me. How about you just keep the same you but work on certain things? And tonight we're going to talk about mental health and the many, many bases that it covers. Because mental health is not one or two things. Mental health covers a myriad of images and things that go on in your lives. Things that you may not even consider being part of mental health, but somewhere down the line, it's all tied in there together. And for those here locally, in my area, in Fresno, better known as the No, let me give you a local number you could call for help in times of crisis, at times when you need someone to talk to. That number is 559-600-4099. And for my national audience, there's a number that you can reach out to. That number is 866-903-3787. Regardless of how small or how big your issue may be, sometimes you may need to reach out and talk to someone. And as many of us know, in the Black community, there's always been that stigmatism of you talking to someone about your problems. So many of us grew up with the phrase, what happens inside these walls, stay inside these walls. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes, especially nowadays, you need to talk to someone so that you can get some help. And you know what? Look like we got a caller, so let me go over here and see who we got out here on the line, and we'll keep it moving. Thank you for calling Inside Visions. This is Brother Bullock. Who we got on the line?
This is the Fountain Pen Diva.
All right, and I am so happy to hear from you. How are you been?
I've been fine. We've been trying to meet up with each other, and we keep missing, but I said I was going to do it today, and I'm here for you.
Well, you know what, and I definitely appreciate that because, like me, I too know that you yourself have reached out and talked to different people. Like, I talked to my therapist today, and it made a world of difference. And like I said, we're discussing mental health tonight, so I'm glad that you're sitting in with me and going to take this ride with me. And we can go ahead and get started. So why don't you go ahead and let me know and start off where you want to.
Well, I guess I want to start off where I did not growing up. I did not understand mental health, and, you know, coming from the Black community, we didn't, you know, that was not something we really talked about.
Exactly.
The old saying that we had is that white people go to therapy and Black people go to church, and that's what I knew.
Exactly.
So I went through pretty much a lot of my adult life until maybe my 30s, thinking that therapy was for weak people. I didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I could handle it on my, I could handle it on my own. And then I had, around my 40s, I had my very first, but certainly not my only, anxiety attack. And if that moment changed my life. First of all, I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I literally thought I was having a heart attack. And
you know, and
my I can tell you, I was on the bus. I got off the bus, and I sat on the corner of Pico and Sepulveda, and trying to catch my breath. And there were some teenage girls, and they saw me, and they were so wonderful. They said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" So they called the paramedic for me, and I had more blood taken out of me. I had an EKG. I had an MRI. They couldn't find anything, and for about a good almost a year, I had a really good primary doctor. Nobody knew until I started Googling, I started looking this up and typing in the symptoms, and suddenly it popped up. That's when I knew that's what it was. And there is actually power in when you name something, because when you know what it is, you know how to deal with it. But I still
exactly.
Do not. And that was powerful to me. Now, it's taken some time. I'm in therapy, and I still have, I will have an anxiety. I still have them, but I have people around me. I have a wonderful support system. My parents have been absolutely wonderful, and I love it because they don't really understand it, but when I tell them, hey, I'm having one, they will walk me through it. My brother will walk me through it. I have friends that will walk me through it, and it just feels good when you know you're not alone. And
right.
One of the things is this whole, part of the getting rid of the whole strong black woman thing, that was a weight off my shoulders, because for me, strength is saying I need help and asking for help. And I used to not do that.
Right, and let's back it up a minute, because like you, I'm a boomer. I'm 64, getting ready to go on 65. And growing up, just like you said, growing up, our thing was what happens inside these walls, stay inside these walls. And like you said, white folks go to therapy. We went to church. Or you had that close friend that maybe you might talked about some things with. But other than that, you wasn't looking at someone to sit down and talk to.
Nope.
And I know recently, within the last month, I myself have been going to therapy because I lost my spouse back in 2018. And the way it went down was just everything happened just so rapid fire. And I never really had a time to grieve because of the way things happened and the way things went down and all the things that come behind it. I lost my spouse, then I lost my job, then I lost my apartment, then I moved from another state back into California. Everything was like boom, 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 boom. And I found myself reaching a point to where I was like kind of irritable and just short with everybody, and I've never been that. And one day I made a call to my Veterans Crisis Line. And from there, I actually got a very good therapist who has been working with me. And it has made a world of difference because I've been able to discuss some things and talk about some things that I never really understood bothered me, but really did. But because in our culture, we don't reach out. I didn't understand that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was not just the anxiety, but like you said, things that I had hidden in my, you know, that I basically this, all this baggage that I had from growing up, being a young adult, trying to do, you know, trying to be that strong woman that didn't need help, didn't ask for help. You couldn't, you know, if I was in a relationship, I could walk, you know, and we broke up, I'd walk away from it, act like I wasn't hurt, I was tough. And that stuff is that, not setting boundaries, being afraid to say no, that stuff really wears on you. And I think part of what I'm actually glad that this is going to sound really strange, but I'm actually glad that I had the anxiety, that I had the panic attack, because my body, my physical body and my mind were trying to tell me something and I was not listening. So my body literally had to force me to pay attention to my mental state, because I was just going to ignore a whole lot of things that were not healthy for me.
Right, right. Well, as you know, mental health is all about how people think, how they feel, behave. And it's a good thing that we have people out there that can help us with our depression, our anxiety, bipolar disorders, addiction, and other conditions that will affect our thoughts and feelings and behaviors.
Yeah, and for me, because you know, like I said, you follow me on the Bird app, so you know that I talk about my mental health journey and my anxiety. So you know, and I want to do that for Black people, so that they know this is, you know, it's okay for you to go and, you know, get therapy, because you cannot handle a lot of this on your own. Generational trauma is real.
Yes, indeed it is. And I'm glad that you said that right there. Generational trauma is real. And it's funny that we're speaking on this, because I know people out there who go through this and didn't realize it and have come to realize, hey, I kind of inherited what Mom went through, what Dad went through, what Granny went through, and didn't realize it, because you probably thought it was the norm.
When I was my grandmother's caregiver for a decade, and I remember about the first 2 days that I started taking care of her, and I went into her. She had a nightstand, and I went into her medicine drawer, and I saw, I mean, I'm looking at, she's got Xanax, and she's got a couple of other things, and I'm like, Grandma, what is all this for? You know, what's all this for? And that's when she told me that she, you know, that she was dealing with, like, depression. And at that time, it's like, Grandma, you? You know,
right.
And this was a woman who I literally tried to model myself after, and knowing that she was dealing with the same thing that I was dealing with. And we had I got her into therapy.
Yeah, because it's funny, we look at our elders. And I know I went through this. I was very fortunate. I got to know several of my great uncles and aunts. And to me, they were always that strong family member, that brick, that wall, you know. But then as I got older, I realized that they kind of stood in the stead to keep us from going through certain things, that they took a lot of hits. And, you know, you follow me on the Bird app, and we all talk. What I love about the group, we follow each other. We talk real. And you've seen me from time to time talk about different family members and what they went through. And the one thing I will always give the village credit for is our elders really went through a lot to make this a semi-decent world for us to live in so that we didn't take as many hits as they did.
Exactly. I mean, I was blessed enough to have had my both sets of my great great grandparents and my great grandparents and my grandparents. So when I tell people about my, you know, when I say my grandmother, I have to specify which grandmother I'm actually talking about because
right.
I had both. So the on my dad's side, she's the last one who passed away in 2020. So, but I, you know, going all through my life, I had my, you know, I had my great grandmother, I had my grandmother, I had, you know, like I said, it's, and seeing what they went through and listening to their, you know, her stories and their stories. My great grandfather was a Pullman porter, so I, you know, things that, you know, I heard from him and heard from my great grandmother about him, and then my cousin, you know. So you're absolutely right about they, you know, we stand on their, you know, we stand on their shoulders. And that's why I'm doing what I can for myself to, you know, not just to let, you know, to be better for myself, but to, you know, to be mindful of they didn't have a chance to, you know, they didn't have what we have. And I'm
exactly,
going to, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, they didn't have what we have. And I'm using what, you know, what they have allowed me to have, to go to, you know, to be in therapy, to talk about these things, to set boundaries and have those boundaries respected, to let go of the things that don't serve me, that might have served them but do not serve me now. And that's not any shade on them because what they had to go through, I don't think I could, you know, I don't know if I could do.
Oh, yeah, I follow you on that one. You know, I'm going to put some numbers out here. An estimated 14.2 million adults here in the U.S., which is about 5.6%, have had and have serious psychological conditions, and that's according to the National Institute of Mental Health. And the thing about it is everyone, regardless of age, sex, income, ethnicity, is at some risk of developing a mental disorder. And especially here in the U.S., you know, one of the most developed nations out here, mental disorders are one of the leading causes of disability. And in a way, that's kind of sad because you would think that here in the United States where we're supposed to lead everything, that's the one category we shouldn't be leading in. We should be trying to help everyone.
Well, we also lead in maternal mortality.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that is, so, you know, those statistics aren't surprising. My thing is, and this is going to be on a slightly different tangent, this is why I think mental health is so important and for people not to trivialize it and not to use it as an excuse for just absolutely terrible behavior because
right.
It's so stigmatized and we don't understand it. And then we don't understand it. Or people think it's kind, you know, some people think it's sexy. You know, oh, yeah, there's nothing sexy about, you know, breaking out into a cold sweat and, you know, trying to count the number of shoes that you have just to keep your mind going, you know, to keep your mind from freaking out. There's nothing
right.
cute about that.
It's not
too,
at all.
You know, this is too serious. This is too serious. For, you know, for people to use it as like a get out of a racism card. But, you know, we need, like I said, you know, I posted today, this is 2024. We are not doing that. We're not doing that with people. I'm not doing that with you. Because my mental health is not something that, you know, I don't use that as an excuse for my, you know, I don't use that as an excuse for my behavior. And I sure as heck don't want anyone else doing it and making a mockery of it.
No, you're absolutely right about that. One of the things I know I hate is when we have a mass shooting and the first thing someone wants to run to and say is, oh, they have a mental problem. Not necessarily. And you should not always use that as a way of trying to get around what has happened. Don't always want to scream they have a mental problem because they have a hate problem or they have a color issue. Don't try to make it a mental thing. But you see that a lot.
I've already seen it. With the tragedy of Iowa yesterday, I've already seen it, and it's just,
yes.
It's so, you know, it's exhausting. It's like, can't you, you know, don't, can't we come up with, you know, there's no, you know, there's no excuses for this. We've got to get to, you know, we've got to get to the root causes, to the serious root causes, and using that as an excuse when you do it for anybody else is just, you know, I know. We're not doing that.
You know, and the thing is, I noticed that they're real quick. For example, the majority of mass shooters have been white, and the first thing they get labeled is, oh, they have a mental problem. The few black shooters who have done this, the first thing you hear is, they're a thug and a criminal. Okay,
yep.
So if they're a thug and a criminal, what happened to the mental aspect with them as opposed to the white guy who was the shooter? So, yeah. But, you know, health, the thing about mental health is it crosses all socioeconomic conditions, and, you know, whether work is available or not, a person's level of social involvement, education, housing quality, gender, I mean, age, all of that comes into play when we talk about
mental
health.
It really does.
I look at mental health like, you know, a bunch of, like a stem of grapes. There's so much going on that covers and falls under the umbrella of mental health. I can remember before I knew any better that I thought anxiety and depression was two different things. Well, they are, but they all fall under the guise of mental health.
I've learned so much about my own way of handling anxiety and depression, and depression looks so different on so many on different people.
Yeah,
you can be. I mean, I consider myself a fully functional depressive. I can walk out. I can be in a room full of people at a party, having fun, and I'm still in this. I'm still feeling like I'm alone. And why am
right.
I here?
Right. I feel you on that one.
I mean, it looks, you know, it doesn't look, it's, there's, it's not a, you know, there's this stereotype that you've got this dark cloud over your head every day, and it doesn't look like that. And that's why it's so, you know, it's really hard to know that somebody's, you know, what someone's going through. It's really hard to tell because it's invisible. But people have this thing where they see it, they have this idea, or you should just, you know, or, oh, well, you should be thankful. There's nothing about, you know, I never said I wasn't thankful, you know, I'm never not thankful. It's just sometimes, it, you know, there are things that hurt.
Exactly.
Inside.
Exactly.
There are things that hurt inside. And when I started, you know, again, making peace with it and understanding it and saying, you know, it's okay to not be okay. I don't have to be okay today. And
right.
I'm not doing
exactly.
this for anybody, you know. And I'm not doing this for, you know, I'm not doing this for attention. This is just, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay not to put the mask on. And I feel so, you know, again, there's, I feel better doing that, knowing that.
Well, yeah, because if nothing else, you have to be honest with yourself first. Like I said today, every Friday I talk to my therapist. And my therapist is in another state, so we do it online via the internet through Zoom, and it's always so funny because, you know, I was explaining to her that thing of Black culture and going to therapy as opposed to whites or Hispanics or Orientals. And she asked me, she goes, well, why do you think that is? I say, because we have always had this thing of whatever it is, Jesus can fix it. I say, that's just the way it is in Black culture. You take it to the Lord in prayer. And for those of us who have learned to step away from that, to actually talk to somebody, don't think it was just like, oh, well, I'll go to therapy. No, that, like I told, I say, that was something I struggled with.
Whoa, that's a big can of worms right there, because that's the same thing that I definitely struggled with. And I,
yeah.
And the thing is, I've gotten to the point where I really, really started pushing back hard on that. And I'm really, you know, I tell people, my faith is actually stronger because I talk to someone else. And I really, you know, I am talking to someone else because I am getting a result. I don't feel that, you know, we have to stop doing that to people, especially doing that to, you know, because Christianity for Black people, you know, it's super important. It's got a historical, social,
right.
Political, we've got a history with it.
Exactly.
But we've got to also start weeding out a lot of the things that do not serve, you know, do not serve as well as far as that's concerned.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that right there is one of those things that's just really, really been harmful. Is that, oh, well, you know, your faith isn't strong enough if you got to go to therapy. No.
Yep.
No, that's not
exactly.
How any of this works.
That's not how it works.
Nope. So I really, you know, I pushed back on that. That's one of the things I pushed back on real, real hard. And I've gotten a lot of really good response, you know, positive responses from people about that, you know, because we've all gone through that. You know, those of us who are in therapy seeking counseling, we have that story.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a family member, and they, you know, they was like, hey, I think you made the right choice. Say, I've always respected you doing your thing, but for you to humble yourself and actually go and find someone to talk to and stick with it is a beautiful thing. And I'm going to tell you, all honesty, that made me feel so much better. Because, you know, again, our culture, it comes down different. You know, with Black folks,
yeah,
it comes down different. Even though maybe younger Black people today look at it a little bit different than we do. You know, we're older generation. But, yeah. Yeah.
I also think part of that is also our historical, again, because we're... We have a historical trauma from the medical establishment as it is. So
oh, yeah.
It's not just, yeah. So it's not just, you know, I don't necessarily think it's just, you know, we don't want to do it. But there's some, again, historical trauma from the medical establishment and why a lot of Black people do not trust it, even if you're talking about mental health.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that I think mental health professionals, that's something they actually have to confront and have to deal with while they're also making, you know, we have to talk about access, because that's a problem for our community, is having access. The money being spent for, you know, having cops in schools rather than counselors, which I think would be having counselors in school would be a lot more important than having a teacher try to be a counselor, a parent, and a police officer. That's not how any of this is going to work.
Well, I agree with you 100% on that. I've always felt like one of the biggest mistakes, and I worked in the therapy field myself. One of the biggest mistakes ever made was taking therapists out of schools. I've always said that. To this day, I feel like all these cutbacks in school districts, the first somebody to go is the social worker or the therapist. The first person in my eyes to go should be that resource officer. You need a therapist more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely agree. And with especially, I would, you know, nowadays, especially not to throw everything at social media, but we have COVID is still a thing, and there's a lot of young people that are still trying to deal with living in a COVID world, a pandemic world, and there's so much that they've lost out on that they don't have any way to, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have any way to deal with it. They're just supposed to, you know, pick themselves up and pretend that everything's okay, and it's not. We still have got, you know, we have a massive loss of life. We still have, you know, we still don't know what long-term COVID is going to do to a lot of people. And there's a lot, you know, kids lost a lot of schooling. They lost a lot of time being with their friends. So they need somebody that, you know, they need access to mental health just as much as anyone else does, and we should have it, and we should have it. The school should have it. There should be community, you know, community based health services that people can go to, and I think that would go a long way to solving, you know, to dealing with some of the issues that we have in, you know, societal wise. Even if it's just you go in there one day just to talk about, hey, I'm just not having a really good day. Just having somebody that you can tell that to, that's not your mom and dad.
Exactly. And especially if you live here in the state of California now, I have to be real honest. My governor, Mr. Gavin Newsom, I have no kick with him about the money he spends on mental health, because he is really putting it out there. I live in the Central Valley, and
I live in LA, so he's my governor too.
Yeah. So I can tell you honestly, here in Fresno County, they've made a concerted effort to now start reaching out to communities where once upon a time, maybe they kind of overlooked what was going on. But like you said, because of COVID, they are now really starting to understand, one, COVID isn't over with. Two, we have new forms of it hitting. And three, people are really much in need, especially teenagers and young folks. So they are really making a concerned effort to try to right some of those, I'll just call them what they are, some of those wrongs that went down before. California is not an easy state. I live in the one state that could actually be three different states. And I've lived in Southern California. I was raised in Northern California, and I live in Central California. So I didn't been on all ends of the spectrum.
And I'm 20 miles away from Huntington Beach, which I ought to tell you.
Okay.
So I'm literally kind of a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Florida of Southern California.
Yeah. I'm real familiar with Huntington Beach and Orange County. In my younger days, I used to always make this joke about how different my family was in California, because, you know, I would come to L.A. and going to L.A., it was like everybody was on the Speedy Gonzales mode. Everybody was just move. Where opposed in the Bay Area, we was real laid back, you know, just chilling. And, you know, we come to the Central Valley to visit family, and it was like, you know, the country cousins, you know, just kicking it. But, you know, and it's funny you said, you know, Huntington Beach, the Florida or California, any of us that grew up here, Imperial Valley, Orange County, Huntington Beach, those are areas that are very, very red, and they try to play that role, but fortunately, we have people, and we're going to discuss some of that before we get out of here, too. We have people who make sure a lot of that stupidity don't rise any higher than it does. And I always laugh when people say, hey, you know, in California, everything's blue, blue, blue. No, everything is not blue, blue, blue. We do have our red problems. And there's another sister that comes on here from time to time. She lives in Sacramento. She gets real deep. Because she goes to the Democratic conventions and things of that nature, and she always lets me know what's going on, and I love her for it, because if you're black growing up in California, it's a whole different world. It ain't what people think it is, but we fight to make it work. That's why I love following you. Like-minded people need to stick together, and that's why I always reach out to you like I do.
Well, thank you for reaching out to me this time. I will definitely be tuning in again real soon. I'm going to have to – got some things going on, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thank you for having me on, and I'd love to talk with you again.
Not a problem. You have a good rest of the evening, and anytime you want to step in, you have an open mic. You can just roll on in and just boom, drop into whatever the conversation is.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right, darling. Have a good rest of the evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right, beautiful people. That was one of not only my friends that I follow on Twitter. That was the good diva. And I tell you, it's always good to hear from people who can give you firsthand experience about what they are going through in their mental health journey, in their mental health fight. It is real out there, people. And, you know, as I said, I wanted to touch on a few other things before I got up out of here. And, you know, one of those things is how the Republican Party all of a sudden, once again, wants to threaten to shut down the government over what they call border issues. We have a southern border problem. And it always gets me that the Republican Party, who has done nothing positive since taking control of the House again, just doing the dumbest and want to threaten to shut down the country again because they can't get their way. Now, as quiet as it's kept, President Biden is spending $14 billion on the border. But yet, Republicans will have you think they're not doing anything. They want to say that the Border Patrol don't want this $14 billion to help improve things. They want to cut it off. They want to change the policies of what goes on the border. No, that's not the Border Patrol. That's a lot of these different politicians in the Republican Party who want 15 minutes of fame and who want to be noticed for their stupidity. Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Josh Chicken Man Haley. You know, it's always the same cast of characters doing the same bunch of stupidity. And yes, we're talking about mental health, so yeah, therein lies some group of folks that probably have some mental health issues that they definitely need to talk about, but have yet to do so. Can't be easy being in Congress and just running amok. But as we were talking about mental health, I'm going to put these numbers out here again. National number, 866-903-3787. Here in my area, area code 559-600-4099. And as I said earlier, never be afraid to reach out and get some help. Because you never know what you just might fix and take care of with yourself. All of us have something out there that we need to deal with. I know I do. And I am, like I said, I'm proud of myself for making that step, taking that step for trying to fix some things that I probably should have worked on a lot earlier in life, but maybe they didn't hit me that way. And, you know, going back into this, as quiet as it's kept, you know, the female population has an increased risk of mental health, 4 times more than men, because they deal with different things. They've probably dealt with a lot more child abuse or parent loss or parental separation or taking care of their ill parents. And that's saying that men don't, because we do. But with women, it probably hits a lot different. And like I say, mental health just hits different. And there are a lot of things that come with that. The stress of taking care of a sick parent, a job that you may be working and you're not happy at it, but it keeps you getting paid and puts a roof over your head, and dealing with a child who may not be doing things the way they know they should because they know that your attention is focused elsewhere. So mental health, again, covers a big, big, big part of our life. And we just need to be strong and face it and work at it, people. And go, you know, just try to get through. We got to be strong. We have got to be strong, people. You know, we have got to be strong. There's so much going on in this country right now. And from politics to just everyday life, we have got to fight through. I know here we are in 2024. November, we have an election coming up. We have a man running for president that, in all honesty, should not be allowed on ballots. But for whatever reason, there are many of you out there who love this guy, even though he is doing the dirtiest things you could think of. But you support that stupidity. And why you want to support stupidity of that nature is beyond me. why you would want to support hate and bigotry and misogyny is beyond me. But again, it goes back to that old saying of once people show you who they are, believe them. And many of you have showed us who you are. And I'm going to believe it. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a beautiful night tonight. And once again, I definitely thank my sister for stepping in and speaking out and hanging with me tonight. Again, it's always beautiful when someone comes on, speak their piece, let you know what they are dealing with. And I definitely want to thank the Fountain Pen Diva for doing that. I really do, because it is not easy. Sometimes it's just not easy to step in and tell people about certain things in your life. So I want to thank her for doing that. Really appreciate her. And I want to thank you guys for hanging in with me tonight. I know Friday nights, you know, you could be doing something else, but you chose to roll in here and listen to my little raggedy show, and I appreciate it. So I'm going to tell you what I always tell you. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Once again, it is 2024, election time. Let's start reading the ballots. Let's start paying attention to the folks running for office. Let's get ready to save our country. We must save democracy. Everyone take care of their people. Have a great weekend. And until Tuesday, when I get back at you, everybody stay strong. Protect your folks. I'll holler.